Okay. I give it a couple seconds to get rolling. Okay, we're at Faith Bible Church Thursday night. It's 9/12/2013, and we're going through a series of we're studying about the Holy Spirit, our ever-present helper, and the Holy Spirit's ministries to us and in us in the dispensation of grace. Last week, we went into the gifts of the Spirit. We dealt with the temporary gifts, sign gifts, and then we dealt with what I believe, and some would disagree with me, you know, grace teachers and pastors. But all I tell people is always go to the Word of God and search it out yourself. I believe that there are no more sign gifts, and we've seen why when we went to 1 Corinthians 13, how when that which is perfect has come, and that's not Christ, that's in the neuter in the Greek, and that's not a person. So it's when the Word of God is completed. So I'm not going to go all over that. But tonight we're going to go over the permanent gifts that I believe every believer has at least one gift that is from the Holy Spirit, and you receive it the moment that you get saved, and it's for, not to say look at me like the Corinthians were doing, but to edify the body. And when everybody makes themselves available and that gift, what happens, the church works. So we're going to, again, the temporary gifts were apostles, prophets, miracles, healings, speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, and that word tongues means languages, discerning of spirits, faith, that's miracle type faith, word of wisdom, and the word of knowledge. Now we're going to look into the permanent gifts and see what those gifts are. We're going to, and let me tell you what they are first. It would be pastors, teachers, evangelists, encouragement, the gift of encouragement, the gift of giving, gift to show mercy, the gift of helps, the gift of governments or ruling. So the gifts that abide all through our dispensation of grace that we live in, this would be called permanent gifts. So we're going to look at the gift of teaching. And actually, I can't wait to get to, we're going to, next after the series, we're going to get into the book of Ephesians. I like to go verse by verse. I don't kind of like reading things, but if I don't write these things down, I'm not going to remember a lot of how to explain them. So the gift of teaching. This gift is actually very important. It's mentioned all three times where spiritual gifts are taught by Paul. In Romans 12:7, 1 Corinthians 12:28, and Ephesians 4:11. Before I forget, let's pray before we start here. I've been praying all the way here and all week, and I hope you've prayed during the week about it too, and for Dave and teacher Sunday school and the pastor as they prepare, and just for them as in their personal lives. Satan comes against people who are functioning according to the position God's opened up for them. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for the privilege to come before your throne of grace and mercy in a time of need. And Lord, we need you every second, every minute, every day. And I need you, Lord, to just teach through me. I pray that we'll see and know your word, to know about these gifts in a deeper way, to have gratitude that you have gifted us in some area that we might be able to be beneficial to the body of Christ, to build up the church. And we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that's our teacher, illuminator, and power. And through this series, Lord, we just want to know him better and know how he works in the dispensation of grace, that we might walk according to your will, to be filled, to learn to be filled with the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, to be led by the Spirit. And so may he be the true teacher tonight, And may every single person here be illuminated and touched in their minds and their hearts and their spirit through him. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Okay, let me take a drink of water. So, teaching is the ability, excuse me, to convey truth to the listeners so they can understand it. It's not a real complicated thing. And here's one reason I do believe, I don't go only by experience, because people get experiences and that they have more conviction about their experiences and confidence than they do in the Word of God. So I look to the Word of God, and then we can base our experiences from that. But I've seen pastors and teachers that I didn't think were actually gifted. Now, Dave and our pastor don't believe they're actually gifted. They believe, you know, you make yourself available. And that's true, and Christ expressed himself out of you. Yet, I do believe they're gifted. Dave is a gifted teacher. He can get in 1,000 verses in 45 minutes, you know, and get them all in, and he's not in a rush, and it just flows. And our pastor, I believe he's a very gifted pastor. And so, they would say no, but I've seen men that I don't believe were gifted. They were trying, but they were really struggling. I think of one pastor who was very boring. The stuff was, he wasn't off, but it just didn't seem actually gifted for that, you know. So I do believe that the Holy Spirit gifts us, and it's to minister in the body. Because when everybody's, say, the gift that they're doing, like I said, it's not to say, look at me. It's building up us. And then what do? We get out there and we reach out to the lost. So, teaching in Scripture is very, very important. Our Lord was a teacher. Let's go to John 3:2. John chapter 3, verse 2. And even before this, you have the prophets that taught. Moses taught the nation Israel. John chapter 3, verse 2. That same night came to Jesus by night. This was on Nicodemus. Start in verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, or teacher, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do those miracles that thou doest except God be with him. So what did Nicodemus recognize? Jesus was a teacher. And in his early ministry, who did he teach and who did he minister to? The nation Israel. There was only two Gentiles, and that's because, just give you an example, for a Gentile to get blessed under the prophetic program, because Israel was ahead, and then if you were a Gentile, you had to literally take on the yoke of the law, become circumcised. And so they had preference with God, if you want. And God was what? And he still will eventually reach the Gentile nations through the nation Israel. So Jesus is teaching under law there, but he's teaching. So we see Jesus was a teacher. And then, not only that, where did Paul say he received the revelation and the mystery from? Directly from Jesus Christ. Christ gave Paul a private Bible class, you know, for 3 years, and then he talked about, I believe it was from then, and also as, what was it, 14 years? Partially the book of Acts, he was still receiving revelation about the dispensation of grace, the body of Christ. And so Christ was teaching him also. And then Paul was a teacher of the Gentiles, wasn't he? Actually, we'll probably go to that next. or go to Acts 4, chapter 4, verse 2, and then verse 18, right after John. And we'll see that the apostles, the 12 apostles, were teachers to the nation Israel. So Acts chapter 4, verse 2. Being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. So they were teaching. And then verse 18. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. So we see even with the nation Israel is very important, teachers. Then we see Paul, 1 Timothy 2:7. All the way back to your right in the Bibles. To the T-books. 1 Timothy 2:7. Paul writes, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. So Paul had the gift of apostle and teacher. Actually, I think Paul was gifted with a whole lot of gifts through the Holy Spirit. And then go to 2 Timothy 2:2. Start in verse 1. And Paul is telling Timothy to teach men, and that then the Holy Spirit through the Word of God and him gifting them would be able to teach others. Now therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So a teacher has to be faithful, we see. We're in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. And so, what I want to say too, when we get into the topic of spiritual gifts, just because we don't have a spiritual gift doesn't mean we're not called to do certain things. Like, there's gift of evangelist, right? Does that mean we don't evangelize? But what will happen, somebody with that gift, that it's a spiritual gift, it just happens so easy for them. Some people, it's hard to, share the gospel. For some people are very shy for whatever reason, self-conscious. And you can learn from somebody who's gifted in an area like giving. You can learn about giving from somebody who's got that gift of giving. Does that mean, because I don't got the gift of giving, oh, I don't give? That's a pretty good way to get out of that, right? Yeah. We're going to see what the gift of giving sort of is and how it affects us also. So we learn from those that have these gifts, and it's to build up the body, and like when we'll see the gift of mercies. We can learn from people who reach out. We can learn how to maybe more comfortable, see how they do things, and so see how it builds us up so we're all affected in a positive way. So a teacher, he must desire to study in order to be able to teach. That's where, and also a pastor, I would say, because Paul mentions pastors, teachers. Some people believe that is a pastor teacher and there is no difference, that there's not teachers and then there's pastors. I don't think our pastor holds to that, but I don't hold to it. But a pastor has to be able to teach too, so he would have that, the gift of being able to teach. And there's pastors that can download on the internet, and some do, their messages, because they don't want to study. At a senior's home where me and Mary was going for years, having a seniors ministry. The chaplain there, I was talking to him. He's from a very liberal denomination, and I call him Ponytail Boy. He had a ponytail, you know, kind of hippie looking. And he says, "Oh, I really don't really like to study the Bible." I go, "You don't like?" I'm trying to keep myself calm because I'm thinking, how can you be like a pastor, a chaplain, or Bible teacher, and you don't take the time to study the Word of God? You know what I mean? That just... And I says, "Well, how can you teach if you don't study?" "Oh, we learn from each other." I'm like, "I don't know." I just told him, "I don't know. I study so I know what the content, what I'm teaching." You know? So in order for somebody to be a teacher, you gotta have that desire to study the Word of God. And we should all have that too, right? But I think teachers and pastors encourage the study of the Word. You know, I hope I do that. I hope I, when I'm, wherever I go and teach or preach, I'm like, test even what I say by the Word of God. Get into that Word, right? Because the Word of God that worketh in you, right? So we all gotta do that. And in some ways, We can all, just because we don't have that spiritual gift, if you want, we can still teach people, like sharing what you know. Like people go, "Well, I don't really understand right division that much," but share what you know. Give your testimony. Nobody can't deny that, how you got saved. You know? So, and not only that, a teacher has a big responsibility, and in order, because a teacher should not sow confusion. God's not a God of confusion, right? If a teacher doesn't understand right division, God says what? All Scripture is God-breathed, right? It's inspired by God. Useful for whatever version you use, it comes up the same way. Useful for teaching or doctrine, rebuking, correcting, and training or disciplining. That's the same word. That's how God disciplines us through the Word. So all Scripture is God-breathed. And so all the Bible's for us, right? We should study the whole thing. I'm right now, in the morning, I'm studying in Exodus, and then I'm in Philippians. So I'm getting it all in because it's all the Word of God. Paul, we were talking earlier, my brother, he quotes, you wouldn't believe how much of the Old Testament. You know, Paul quotes the Old Testament all the time. Yet, before, and it says, all Scripture is for our learning, for our comfort, right? So all of it is. But Paul also, through the Holy Spirit, which it says, all Scripture is God-breathed. Scripture, that word in the Greek, that's why I like getting in Greek words. I know some people don't think it's that important. It's the finished product, the Scripture, not just into the man's head, down his arms. It's that finished product. All Scripture is God-breathed. So, we need to study the whole Word of God. But you know the chapter before that? What did Paul say how to study the Word? And it was the Holy Spirit. And guess who gave Paul the message? Christ, right? So you follow Paul as he follows Christ. And it says what? Study to show thyself approved. A workman need not be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. What does rightly dividing in the Greek mean? It means slicing accurately and straight. Okay, so there's divisions in God's word. We have to make sure we're accurate with seeing the differences. Like some people, thank God, even if they only got to law and grace. Boy, there's a big difference there when I understood that. You know, my old pastor used to say a lot of time, you understand grace in a fragmented way in the beginning. It's like a puzzle. You get this piece, and then it starts falling, and you start seeing the whole picture, you know, and you're just rejoicing, you know. And you wonder, wow, God, you revealed that to little old me, you know. And so a teacher has to rightly divide the word, or he's going to teach a confused message. You know, that's what, thank God we're in a church that understands right division. I appreciate the pastor so much. He stood for years. And you know, you don't think he's gotten flack, and you know, you get called names and all kinds of stuff. So, got to remember, there's two different bodies of truth. The prophetic program with the nation of Israel, and that's true too. but it's not, it's for our learning, but it's not, it's for us, but not to us. Where do we find our instructions? We all know in Paul's epistles. But maybe somebody listening through the internet really doesn't know. So, and again, sometimes, you know, I reread books because I'm reading it and I go, I forgot all about that. There's a very good book, Satan's Policy of Evil by Keith Blades, about understanding his program, how he, his policy of evil and God's plan. So he's got a plan, God. You're talking about, like Dave, getting into all the verses, and he just passed away a while back, I guess, but talking about a fantastic, deep Bible teacher. I got to read the page twice, you know, just to get in all the info, but it's a great book. And he talks about that. So there's two different programs, one for the nation Israel, one for the body of Christ. So you have to rightly divide that. Otherwise, you mix it together, you know, it's like, you say, well, you know, what's the problem with that? Well, if you take a little bit of poison, put it in a glass of orange juice is healthy, right? But boy, say here, it's only a little bit of poison in there. Remember Jesus said, watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees, the teaching. So you got to rightly divide the word so you don't get a big confused message. That's why there's so many denominations and, you know, so anyway, a teacher needs to do that. And then he's got to make straight cuts because Paul talks about time past, but now, and then things to come. That's three different divisions. And then he needs to explain and give an explanation and application derived from the Scriptures. So you explain the Word of God, then you want a challenge to apply the Word of God, a teacher. And then it's got to be from the Scriptures, but remember, that's why you got to rightly divide it so you get the right instructions. Because what if I told you, now we went over about the sign gifts last week. Now what if I didn't understand how to rightly divide the word and see them sign gifts pass away? I'd be telling you, seek the baptism of the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking in tongues. And I was thinking about that today. You know, that's taught, right? I went 8 years I was on that teaching. Where Paul says, do all speak in tongues? Are all about, you know, and the idea, it demands a no. So if all don't, even back then, didn't have the gift of tongues, why are you teaching everybody to go look, try and get the gift of tongues? You know, like if you're gifted, you'll find out what your gift is. As you're available to God, He's going to open up a door for you and it'll just flow out of you naturally. You don't got to seek it. I ain't got to read books on, you know, finding your spiritual gift, you know. anyway, now we're going to go to the gift of being a pastor. The Greek word means shepherd. And what's the idea of a shepherd? He guides, he cares, he feeds, he leads, he preaches, he teaches, he protects, and he cares. And I believe we have that type of pastor. I have a lot of respect for our pastor. We're just blessed, man. You know, and I appreciate him very much. In Ephesians 4:11-16, let's go there. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. So what? The perfecting, what's that have the idea? Maturing, right? That's why I like going to the Greek, to find out what's other ways you can interpret that, because it gives you a fuller understanding of what is. So it's not making the saints perfect. We'll never be perfect in our identity before Christ, in our position, yeah. But so it's the idea for why did he give pastors and teachers, and you even have evangelists, and even why them gifts were going on, apostles, prophets, for what? So for the maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry. So what? So to teach the church for what? Go do the work of the ministry. The pastor ain't supposed to do all the work. Everybody thinks, oh, he's on the payroll, you know. So he needs to do this, he needs to mow the lawn, and he needs, you know, whatever. No, the pastor's main function is study. So why? He knows the stuff, and then he can equip the believers to do the work of the ministry. That is his work. That's his gift, to study, learn, and then be able to preach and teach that. And what happens, as you study during the week, as we study during the week, you come to church, I heard it put, and it stirs up the doctrine you've been putting in your soul during the week, in your spirit. And it also, I believe, preaching, and I think the pastor brought that up, when it animates the Word of God. You know, it's the Word of God that works in you. Remember he said animation? It's like, you know how cartoons start coming to life, movement? And that's it. He takes the Word of God through your study, and it's energizing in you. God's transforming your thinking into His thinking, looking at life through the way He sees life, with truth and with love. And what happens, and then you come to church, and with good sound teaching, and I believe rightly divided teaching and preaching, what happens, it helps to animate that and challenges you to apply in me. Because I sit out there too, right? To apply. Yeah. I get more convicted when I teach than anybody. Excuse me. So we're going to see here, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So edifying, it's like building up the body of Christ, the church. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we might henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men. So you ever hear that? Like tricksters, sleight of hand, you know, magicians do it. And cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So one thing the pastor, he's protecting the flock. As he builds you up in the truth, when counterfeit comes, you're going to know it, and he's going to preach sometimes against this. You know, the pastor will bring up, he doesn't get all into it, but he gives you a basic knowledge why this is off. You know, and so that protects you from, because there's a lot of stuff out there, man. You wouldn't believe. We were talking about some stuff earlier, right? And then here, but speaking the truth in love. So a pastor needs to be loving. And I believe we have that type of pastor. That we may grow up in the Him, in the Christ, in all things, which is ahead, even Christ. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted. So see, we're joined with each other, the body of Christ. Now, we're compacted. By that which every joint supplies. See, he's using a picture of a human body, and everyone's working the other one. When I move, I'm doing dance or something, that old dance, right? When I move my arm, look at fingers, joints, blood's going, the head is giving signals, you know, and when I'm walking or when I'm talking. So it's all working together, and that's as a body of Christ. Yes. That's why we need to be unified in truth. Not just have this unity based on let's hold hands and not discuss doctrine. That's what's out there today a lot. But it's unity based on truth. And then we get the word down into us, and then we get it into our feet, and we're there for each other, and we see each other, that we're a part of each other. That's what I love about grace. With grace, there's no race. We're all one in Christ. And you can be yourself. You know, you can have where you come from, different roots and stuff. But really, we all come from the cross. First, we were all in Adam, fallen, right? Couldn't save ourselves, right? Then we went to the cross, and we all died at the cross when we trusted in Christ. We were put in the tomb. We shared that. And we came out spiritually alive, you know? And that's why we offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. And us in the church and understanding grace should be such a light to the world that don't know how to come together in unity. Christ, there's what's it called? Today the world's looking for diversity and unity, right? That's in the church. The Trinity, one God and three persons, unity with diversity, and the body of Christ. Men, women, yellow, black, white, brown, short, tall, children, old people, and we're all one. But we're diverse. And you can have your own personality. You know, you ain't got to be a Xerox, you know, walking around with the pastor trying to tell bad jokes. You know? So praise God for that. So let's look at the gift of evangelists. That was talked about in Ephesians 4:11. It's one who is gifted and one who takes the gospel of grace of God to the unsaved. An example would be church planners and missionaries. I believe if you ain't gifted for that, you know, some people would say called, I guess. But if you're not gifted for that, that's a tough thing. You can go into another country and for years not see anything. That's why I pray a lot for Genesis. Remember who came? He was at our study. And then the things to come mission, they're teaching the grace of God over in other countries. Huh? And then in a secondary sense, we're all to do the work of an evangelist, right? Paul, Timothy was an evangelist. Paul told him, do the work of the ministry. And again, we can learn from the gifted evangelists on the how-tos. And now we could see, this is what you got to be careful with when you talk about gifts. Well, I don't have that gift, so, you know, I'm not required. But we're all, what's evangelist? Evangelist is evangel. Let's see if I wrote it down, because like I said, I'm terrible if I don't write it down. It's the idea of, you know, like evangelical. It's good news. And then one who shares the good news. And usually it's with the unsaved. But sometimes good news can be to understand grace to a saved person. It's like being born again again. You ain't. But now you find out, I ain't got to seek more and more and more. I'm blessed with every spiritual blessing. And then I can't say no to sin because of the cross. Not my own strength, right? And so it's like, you rejoice, man. I remember understanding grace, and to this day, I'm singing to God at work. You know, it's hot, sweaty, but you're just praising God, and you're not thinking about the negative things out there, you know? Listen, but we're all God's, in a secondary sense, evangelists. And we learn from evangelists. You know Bernardo? I believe he's got the gift of evangelism. Look at, he's out there planting churches, you know, he's teaching. And when I used to go to Hilltop, he came and he was giving illustrations how to share the gospel. Because some people don't know how to share. And if you're insecure, you know, it's like you're not confident. A lot of time you back off. Like you said, you were taught sharing. So who better than for you to be sharing to help people to how do we present it? How do you start a conversation with that? And he was doing that. He had that. So see how he had that gift, and he was edifying the body there. 2 Corinthians 5, 18 through 21. Starting 17. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, a new creation. Old things are passed away. You ain't who you were in Adam. Praise God. That's gone. That was buried. You were buried. Behold, all things become new. And all things are of God. See? We can't brag on it, right? Who saved us? You know? Who has reconciled us to Himself, how? By our good works, by our commitment, repent from all of our sins? No, that's not what it says. It says, and has Himself by Jesus Christ. And it's not Jesus Christ in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, because Paul says in verse 16, "Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh," so him as Messiah to Israel, their future king, "yet now henceforth know him no more." What's Paul talking about? We know him as head of the body now. Not just Messiah to Israel, yea, he is Israel's Messiah, but to us in the body of Christ, he's our head. And even the message, they had to believe that he was the Messiah or they couldn't be saved. You could believe today Christ is the Messiah, but not trust in his death, burial, and resurrection. You won't be saved. Because that's how you're saved today. So, and back to verse 18. "And all these things are of God who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ." So, what? Through his death, burial, and resurrection, right? Through his blood. "The ministry of, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation." So who's he talking to? The church. That's us. We got a ministry. Right? "To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, and not imputing their trespasses unto them." So what? Christ died for everyone's sins. Even John said, not only for our sins, but for the sins of the world. But is everybody saved? No. Because salvation is not forgiveness. Forgiveness cleared the decks. So you could come for what? Life. Resurrection life. So when someone rejects Christ, they're rejecting life. So let me start again in 19. "To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ." What's an ambassador? One who represents another country. My old pastor used to say, we're citizens of heaven on loan to planet Earth. That's true. And an ambassador represents a country. And what's our message? That Christ died for your sins. You can come to God now through him. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And that's the only way to come. That's the only way God will accept. "Now then we," in verse 20, "now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us." So what? It's God speaking to us as we share the gospel. It's the Holy Spirit in us. "We pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God." Now, I don't believe he's telling the Corinthians be reconciled. They were reconciled. I think he's saying, I won't fight somebody on it, but I think what he's saying, this is the message we preach to the unsaved. Just like John said, if we confess our sins, right? Well, he already did. He's just personalizing himself, you know. It's like, well, if we would turn off the lights, you know, I turn off the lights. So it's a hypothetical we, if you want. "We pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God, for he has made him," Christ, "to be sin for us." Where was that? On the cross. "Who knew no sin." Christ knew no sin. He was the innocent Lamb of God. "That we might be made the righteousness of God in him." So we're God's ambassadors with this wonderful good message. And yet, sometime we need to learn how to share the message. And that's where I believe the gift of evangelism that has that, somebody comes, helps the body. You know. And then eventually, maybe on Thursday nights, I actually have a series, a sharing of faith. So maybe after we get through the book of Ephesians or take a break, we can get into it. All right, let's look at the gift of encouragement. In the King James Version, it says exhortation. The Greek word has a number of meanings, such as supplication, implication, entreaty, exhortation, and admonishings, encouragement, consolation, comfort. So this gift can be used in relation to the many problems that confront believers. So someone with that gift of encouragement, I've seen it. You ever get together with another believer? It's almost like when you get right with them, they're just an encouragement. I believe that that believer has that gift of encouragement. My sister had, I believe, has that. She used to be a greeter at this church we went to. And people would say, you know what? When you weren't there that week, it just wasn't the same. It's like, I see your big smiling face as soon as I walk through the door, and I see that love in your eyes. And she just is a natural thing. And she's a real encouragement. When I used to be messing up in my earlier Christian walk, when I didn't understand grace, she always believed in me. You know, she always was an encouragement to me. So I believe there are certain people, and what can we do? Someone with that gift, can we learn? You watch them, you observe them, just like your kids, you know, they watch you, and they learn more, they say, from observing you than what you tell them, right? So as you're watching them, maybe next time you're going to do the same thing when somebody's going through something. And also, because the idea of you're encouraging someone in something, it helps with a lot of things in the church, a lot of times, things people are going through. And we all need that. We all need encouragement. Then we have the gift of giving. Now, all believers, I believe, have this gift. But some people, they have the gift of giving, because Paul talks about the gift of giving. But some people, I believe, have a true spiritual gift. They can just give, you know, without thinking anything about it. Some of us, it takes a little bit more, like, well, you know what? God's been good to me, and you know, I want to give more. I need to give more because I've been kind of cheap, and you know, that ain't about grace, and you know, things like that. There's some people, I believe, just with the gift that but they're supposed to do with a cheerful heart. You know, let's look at Second Corinthians 8:9. We're right there. For ye know... No, I'm sorry, go ahead. Lucky I got this newer Bible, because it takes me... Sometimes I can't get the pages part, so it slows me down for you guys, because I'm always thinking about time sometimes. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, that's spiritually... Yet, for your sakes, He became poor, that ye through His poverty might become rich. Oh, I'm sorry. I went to 9. Therefore, in verse 7, therefore as ye abound in everything, so He's talking about gifts here, in faith, utterance, and knowledge, and all diligence. If you remember, he had mentioned them earlier in chapter 12. That in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. What's the idea of the word grace? The idea is charisma, gift. It's a shame the charismatics and Pentecostals sort of snatched that word, because it's a biblical word. And so there's a gift of giving, but we all are able to have that gift. Now, check this out. The Greek word for giving means to share with. This is what giving really is, having a share in the ministry of the Lord. Wouldn't you like to have had a share in Microsoft when they started, or think of some of them big companies? Boy, you'd be rich if you invest in a share there. But all that money's going to be left here, ain't it? And, you know, like what they say, you never see a hearse with a U-Haul to the back. When they ask, somebody rich died, and they says, how much he leave behind? And he says, all of it. You know? So we can share in eternal things. We get to share in God's work, what God wants to do. And as we give... We know our pastor, I got no problem of giving here, and I'm just thankful I can, because there was times when I couldn't, and it's a bad feeling. So I'm thankful that I have some to give. So I give with cheerful heart. But he don't get a whole bunch of money. He gets pretty small salary, actually. And then he works at the Berean Bible site. And, you know, and he used to work as a painter. So he ain't in it for the cash, you know. Which, so, you know, you see these prosperity pimps and stuff just soaking the people, spiritually pickpocketing them. And weak, and a lot of old ladies, people are struggling that don't got money, and they keep telling them, you know, they're false teachers, actually. So we have the blessing to be able to share in what God's doing. And to what? It helps keep the church going, one thing. And to be reach out to... You know how far this little church affects? I mean, people all over the world, actually. You know, people all over the United States. There isn't a great church in their area, right? So they can listen through the internet. I hope that I'm a blessing to someone out there, you know, that they're kind of isolated, you know. We're blessed. Even like on Sunday mornings, we drive over an hour, but it's worth it to hear fresh grace truth, you know. So it's not new truth. It's just taught fresh, because when you teach grace, that God's mercies are new every morning, right? They're fresh. His compassions. Then we have the gift of mercy. This gift that the Holy Spirit deals with showing mercy to the sick and afflicted. I think my wife Mary has that. Me, I can go to the hospital and, you know, after 5 minutes, I'm ready to book. I want to let them know that, you know, I care about them. I don't know what to say. And Mary just hold her hand and she'll pray with them. And, you know, even people are dying. And she works in the seniors. She for years in the seniors. She goes in as just before they die, and she's praying with them, telling them about Jesus, and you know Jesus died for you. And me, I don't have that gift. That's what I'm saying. I do believe there's spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit he works through you to reach out and touch people, edify the body, and. You know, we talk about doctrine and everything, and we better have that straight. And I talk about the emerging church. Their whole thing is, let's just go out there and do good and cure people of AIDS in Africa and the poor, you know. Them are good things, and we should reach out to the poor and reach out. But if it ain't a message based on truth, and we need to get the doctrine straight, or we're not going to do it in love, because we can also do it self-righteously, right? Didn't Paul say, If it's not in love, what, I can give all my goods to feed the poor? If it's not love, it's nothing. Zero. Then we have the gift of helps. The gift of the Holy Spirit, this gift of the Holy Spirit deals with the ability to give assistance to others. Every believer should be able to help or minister in spiritual things, yet one with this gift can actually help take the load off the pastor's shoulders. I'll tell you just one way of, I believe, that helps. What about a mechanic in the church helping a single mom that her car, she can't get her going, and she can't get to work if she don't get her going? Someone with that gift, that's just one example. And like I said, it got to be that one with the gift. If we know there's a need, and it's a real need, because I went to a church, just giving an example, and this guy took up a collection for another guy, and he says he ain't got his rent money, and I was doing my dog training, and business was good, so I said, here, I wrote him out a check, like $70, right? So then this other guy goes, hey, Paul, come here. You know, I had given him a check, and he goes, you know why he ain't got his money? Because he's smoking weed. He likes smoking weed still, and he's blowing it on that. I go, oh, really? I walk back, I say, excuse me, that dude's blowing his cash on weed, I get my check back. So if it's a real need, not because somebody has got themselves into something, you know, and maybe you're interfering actually with sometime, Chaplain Thomas, I used to be involved in Cook County Jail Ministry, he used to say, the pain's got to get worse than the pleasure sometime before you do something. Yeah. And sometime if even people in our family, especially your kids, it's hard. Sometimes you got to let them go through stuff.
Yes.
You know, and that's the most loving thing to do. It's harder for a woman, I think, than a man, because he's more naturally, I think, the discipliner, if you want. Then we have the this is the last one. Good timing. Got like 4 minutes. The gift of governments or ruling. This gift from the Holy Spirit is in relation to the administration and ruling in the local assembly. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 14:40. Back her up a bit. Paul writes, let all things be done decently and in order. So in the church it should be decent and orderly. And the offices of elders and deacons come under this heading. 1 Timothy 5:17. Says, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in word and doctrine. So we should appreciate and give them, Paul said, double honor, and especially in word and doctrine. So we should really honor our pastor, you know, not where, you know, he walks by and you go, ooh, did you feel the anointing as he walked by? But just for his love, his care of the flock, just all the this church he's invested, you know, and kept focused on the grace of God all these years. So that's going to be the end of the spiritual gifts. And then there's two little things, I might just get them in quick next week. And then we're going to our responsibility to the Holy Spirit. Now nobody's coming back, right? We like that as ministry, empowerment, and us. No, I'm just playing. But we have a responsibility also, what, to walk in the Spirit, right? I ain't going to give everything away. Actually, to be filled with the Spirit. Be not drunk on wine, whereas in excess, but what? Be filled with the Spirit, controlled by the Spirit. So, actually, I'm kind of done early, which is hard to believe, because we started like 5 minutes late. The Holy Spirit's powerful, I'll tell you, and He can get me to stop before time. So, why don't we, ladies, going to present us with the song, and then we'll close with prayer after that. These two ladies are fun at a picnic, I'll tell you.
We look, and the song is in our old church hymnal. It's not in our hymnal here at this church, so you just have to listen again.
They just don't want me to sing. Smart.
Jesus, my Lord, will love me forever. From Him no power of evil can sever. He gave His life to ransom my soul. Now I belong to Him. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. Once I was lost in sin's degradation, Jesus came down to bring me salvation, lifted me up from sorrow and shame. Now I belong to Him. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. Joy floods my soul, for Jesus has saved me, freed me from sin that long had enslaved me. His precious blood he gave to redeem. Now I belong to him. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity.
Amen. Thank you. Appreciate it. All right, we'll close in prayer. And I hope that'll even whet your appetite. Well, we just went over looking these things yourself. And like I said, know for yourself. Like I said, some people don't believe there's any spiritual gifts today. I agree to disagree. But look into it for yourself. You know, maybe you'll see from your study that there isn't. Or you'll look in there and you'll see there is. And the one thing, before we pray, we all have the gift of eternal life, Christ in us. And may this week he express his life out of us as we serve him in gratitude and make our hearts available to him. Because his Holy Spirit wants to use us. You know, so just be like a water spout, available, not like, Lord, how come you're not using me right now? But he goes, when I want to turn on the water, you're there. You know, that's how I'll be available. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much, God, for the gift of eternal life. Thank you for blessing us with every spiritual gift, Lord, in the heavenlies in Christ. Paul's whole message, the whole mystery, is focused on Christ. And may we see that, God, not just to get a bunch of knowledge and head knowledge, but that we might really know him better. And that we might not be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. That we might know what we have in him. Because we know Satan's very subtle, God. Help us to learn to walk in your spirit. To realize we're in a spiritual battle. Because so many times, God, we don't pay attention to what your word tells us. And we find ourselves in trouble. And I thank you don't leave us there, God. You never leave us, never forsake us. And just I pray, Father, that through these studies that we'll just offer our availability more and more to you, that we'll know how your Holy Spirit works in us and what your will is in the dispensation of grace, and that we might reach out, Father, not just take in knowledge, but share that your love you can express through us, God. What a blessing, Lord. Thank you in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So thank you again for listening so well. Nobody threw no tomatoes. Pretty nice.